I feel extremely constrained to speak less than a half hour about three giants that are really, in a certain sense, the last three generations of Olam HaTorah and Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, potably Klumi Efsha, there were three yahrzeits last week, and actually tomorrow is my Rebbe's yahrzeit, Reb Nachum. But we'll speak about the three people there. There was the Chazon Ish, Reb Shach, and Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel. They were basically all last week. I wanted to speak about each person 10 minutes per person. That's really something that's impossible. On the other hand, there are certain common denominators that something I was personally, the Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel was my brother-in-law, and I knew him from when I came to the Mi'yeshiva. I remember him. I wasn't specifically close to him, but I knew him. Everybody knew each other then. And I then became brother-in-law, and so I knew him extremely well. Reb Shach, I heard two or three times. I went to Bnei Brak Yeshurim from him. I spoke with him four times. That's my cash with that. Chazon Ish, I obviously never knew, but through marriage, he's my wife's great-uncle, and my father-in-law was extremely close with him. So I guess some sense of the person I do have, whatever is possible for somebody two generations later. But the Chazon Ish was really one of the two pillars of the Olam HaYeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. The transition of Torah to Eretz Yisrael was a lot to do with the Chazon Ish, the Biskurov, and then all the Rosh Yeshivas who made Yeshivas. But in terms of a Ruach and in terms of setting a certain standard, they were the ones. Reb Shach was very active in the late 60s until 2000, basically. He was the manhig of the Olam HaYeshivas. Reb Nosson Zvi created a whole door of American yeshiva bachrim that in Eretz Yisrael, and this is where these three people were. I was trying to think of two or three points of commonality, so that we have some sense of what there is in common, even though each one was a world in himself, extraordinary, different people, different audiences, different challenges, different worlds, but some sort of a sense of common denominators. The first thing that struck me, I guess there are two or three things in general, and then we will try to focus on each one individually. First of all, they were all unknown and unnoticed when they were young. Chazon Ish was not heard of as growing up. He didn't learn in any real yeshivas. He sat by his father a lot. He learned chavrusas. Even in his family, his older brothers was considered the hush of the family. He was very hush, but was not known publicly. He was not known publicly at all in Europe until he came to Eretz Yisrael. There were a handful of people who knew of the Chazon Ish and his godless entire. Reb Chaim Reza was one of them. That's one. Reb Shach was also relatively unknown as a young person. I mean, he was chasha, but nobody, he wasn't a name that was bandied about. And my brother-in-law, Reb Nosson Zvi, also not. So one remarkable characteristic is sometimes it's easier when a person doesn't have the baggage of having a claim and people talking about you and being chashev. I don't know whether ayin hara or whatever it is, but it sometimes people misinterpret the story and say they were not balei kishronos. Certainly not true about the Chazon Ish, but more important was they were not public, they were private. Second thing is, whatever they did tremendous amount of work for Klal Yisrael, tremendous accomplishments, but the one thing that is sort of stands out is they always were rooted in Torah. In their early years, they were completely involved in learning, no shaykhis to world outside, and you know, they were not public people. They didn't train for public office. They didn't train for any interaction with the public. They just sat and learned. And this is true about all of them. Even when they were extremely public people, the most of their self was submerged in learning all the time. That's the second thing that I think is true about all three. And also, I would say two more things. A certain another / midas emes, and a simchas achayim despite a lot of difficulties. Those, I think, are characteristics that take them all around. And I would like to go and maybe say over one or two points from each one that sort of flesh out some of these points. The first one, Chazon Ish and his learning. Chazon Ish held, and it was all of them. The glamorous learning, where you ask a brilliant kasha, or say a brilliant teretz, or know something with the with the pinprick test, and so on and so forth, was not where real Torah is. Real Torah is methodically going through things again and again and again and again. The first one I'd like to tell a story about the Chazon Ish that I saw written by somebody who's alive. This person's name is Reb Meir Tzvi Bergman. He's Reb Shach's son-in-law. He grew up, he was a Yerushalayimer, big Baal Kishrin, and Reb Shach, and Reb Shach took him as a son-in-law later, but as a young boy, he was, the Chazon Ish needed somebody to stay in his house. His wife wasn't well, and he needed somebody to just be there. So he slept there when he was a young boy, 12, 13, 14. He came in the first night, and he went to bed. And the Chazon Ish said, no, a Ben Torah doesn't go to bed. Ben Torah sits and learns, and when he falls asleep and goes to the bed. That was first time out. He sat with him and learned over. And he said he would take a Gemara and a Tosfos, they would go over it again and again. So what's the question? What's the answer? What's the proof? And he drilled him again and again and again. This is where the Chazon Ish would teach him. And this is the way many people write the Chazon Ish. To have the Gemara drilled in until it is something that you, doesn't move from you. I heard yesterday a story from Rabbi Lyman. Rabbi Lyman's Rebbe, one of Rabbi Lyman's Rebbeim, is Rabbi Chaim Kreisel, son of Racha, who was an unbelievable genius. Chaim Kreisel had a photographic memory. I remember, to hear him speak and just quote majestically Gemara after Gemara. He was an amazing person. He once had an argument with the Chazon Ish about a certain Gemara. And the Chazon Ish calmly said, let's sit down and learn the Gemara. And as they started going through it, Rav Chaim Kreisel realized that he had it wrong. And it was the same thing. It was just, the Chazon Ish never let anybody rush. He was always methodical, going over it again and again. That's one story he writes about him. And he says another story. He was a young boy, he was 13, 14, and somebody made a bris. And he came, so he was learning Petach Tikva, Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman, and he came to Bnei Brak because it's a family he was close to. He had to get up very early in the morning, take a bus halfway, walk halfway. It was a big schlep, but as a family he's very close to, and he heard the Chazon Ish is Sandik, so he wanted to be there. He walks in, and he walks over to the Chazon Ish to say Shalom Aleichem. And Chazon Ish looks at him and he says, what are you doing here? He says, no, I'm very close. There's a family to that. Chazon Ish looks at him and says, what are you doing here? He said, no, the Rebbe is the Sandik, is that? And Chazon Ish told him, what are you doing here? And he realized it meant in a nice way to say, Yeshiva Bach doesn't belong here. He said, but you're not allowed to tell your Navi's coming. You're not supposed to go to the priest. And Chazon Ish told him the fourth time, what are you doing here? And he got it. And he left. Right, or before anything. Chazon Ish held, certainly in the years, in the formative years, a person's learning, nothing is supposed to disturb a person's learning. And the learning was straightforward, shot again and again and again. I don't think the Chazon Ish had a better memory than Rav Kreisworth, but what he did have was, he had gone through the nuts and bolts so many times, he could do it in his sleep. That was the difference. That was Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish had many personal sufferings. He had no children. His wife was not a well person. Poverty. He himself was sick all his life. He had real heart trouble, and sometimes he just couldn't physically lift himself out of bed, and yet is always the same, calm and learning. Somebody wrote to him, there was a person who was going through some depressions, a Chasid Talmid Chacham, and he wrote to him a letter about he wants to try Chasidus, music, I don't know, things of that nature. We don't have that letter, but that's, and the Chazon Ish writes back to him, for the person who sees the light of Emes, there never is any depression. In other words, just knowing Emes, and knowing that what you know is Emes, should be enough to give a person Simchas Chaim. Rav Shach, I was there four times, twice with public issues, some things I was involved with, so it needed his achron twice. My two oldest children, when they got bar mitzvahed, I was able to go for a bracha, because my father-in-law, by the time my third son was bar mitzvah, he wasn't well enough. He wasn't taking people anymore, and I was there. So one of my two children, I don't remember which one, Rav Shach told him, you know what the most important thing to do, he said, in yeshiva, is to sit and to learn Gemara Rashi Taisvis, not much more. And he said, I, about himself, came to Sabbat Yeshiva, I was 16 years old. He said, I was a nobody. I sat and learned through Baba Basra. By Hanukkah, I had learned through Baba Basra four times. And he was speaking, his Rav Shach's angle was more not to go for the glorious pshatim and chidushim and stuff like that. And he himself could repeat over Gemara again and again. His son-in-law wrote the article about Hanish, also about his father-in-law, that he said many times he would sit and learn with him a specific perik in Zvachim. And he said, this is the perik I'm going to say over in Bezer Shal Mala. And so most people, they talk about a Chidush HaTorah, they would say, Shtekel HaTorah, they would say. The Chazon Ish spoke about the perik. And he would just go over the Gemara Shittaisis with him, you know, word for word, piece by piece. And he tries to explain why this perik, because the perik is Zvachim, one of the middle prakim, I think it was a Mizbeach Mekadosh, if I remember, why he thinks that perik. But the point was that just the Gemara itself, and the Shachar B'Tayr of it, and back and forth, what did the Gemara ask? Was the Gemara answering? What changes from the Hamin Maskana? That was learning. And doing it enough times, as a person gets into it, it's something that gives a person a tremendous amount of chias. It's hard to understand it until you don't do it, but once a person gets into it, he lives off and he thrives on it. The Rav Shach himself also had tremendous difficulties in life, and personal family things, and he was always very stridently upbeat. There was a certain Teiriz Mesamecha person, and that's how things, and that's how he was. He was, till the end, very, 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 very alive and passionate in the learning and everything else. It's interesting that the Chazon Ish writes a letter to Rav Shach on a sefer. And the Chazon Ish, in his criticism of a sefer, writes a compliment that very few other people ever got from Chazon Ish. Rav Shach put out Avi Ezri, and there's a letter from Chazon Ish on a Shtickel Torah of his. His says, I normally don't look at people's Shtickel Torah. Basically, he also writes someplace that, arguing with people very rarely gets anywhere, because most people stick to whatever they want to believe and whatever they want to think, and therefore discussing learning is not much. And Chazon Ish, Bederach Klal, did not talk in learning. He would answer you, but unless it was a young yeshiva bacha, we tried to encourage him, but most other people, he said, this is your shtick, it's fine, that's it. Chazon Ish, he writes a letter, and he says, I normally don't, but because I know how much you like Emes, I am going to write to you. And he criticizes his Shtickel Torah, not because he has any kashas about it, but he says, it's too much to put into the Rambam. In other words, I don't think, I can't disprove it, but I don't think it's quite Midas Emes. Apropos to this, I'll go back to the story I said before, the Chazon Ish, to this Remei Tzvi Bergman, writes that when he was when he was a little older, he was very, very smart, he wrote a Shtickel Torah. The Shtickl Torah he published as a bach yet. It was very, very sharp, but it was based on a premise that could not be emes also. There's sheet in the Rambam about the Reciferim, that there's one sheet that holds like that, but it's clear. And the Chaznish saw the Shtickl printed. And he was very upset. He called him in and he said, the next time this Torah journal comes out, you have to retract what you wrote. He said, why? He said, because it's not true. And so he was, you know, a young boy and he was upset and he was arguing. And the Chaznish said, you know, if you don't have a midah of being makir de emes and being able to step down and say, big mistake, then you're not worthy of anything. He said, it's wrong because it's wrong. And you must retract it. He said, but nobody's passing like me. It's not like a halacha. I'm a young kid writing Torah. And Chaznish was insistent. He said, next time it comes out, say you thought it over and this thing can't be and that's it. And Chaznish's midas emes was extremely, and he saw that in Rav Shach. He saw that in Rav Shach that he's one of the handful of people that was not a Talmud of his, that he actually looked at his Torah and commented on it because he felt he's an ish emes and the criticism he'll take well and right. My brother-in-law Reb Nosson Tzvi is a third generation. We're talking about three different generations and the gap. You're talking about a whole different world. It's hard for me. It's like we'd be talking about colonial America, 1950 and 2050. We're talking about three different worlds. My brother Nelson Svi, as most of you probably know, grew up in a modern home in Chicago, went to a co-ed school, didn't know very well how to learn when he got to Eretz Yisrael. He knew as well as a kid in a co-ed school who was 15 years old, came to visit his uncle in far-off Israel. That was the extent of it. Rav Leizidl saw something in him that no one else saw. And I think, if I could think of the midas that he saw in him was perseverance, midas emes, he's a makabel, and another, things of that nature. That means it doesn't make a difference how sharp you are. It makes a difference how persistent you are and how consistent you are. Rav Leizidl took him and arranged for him a Seder Hayom. The Seder Hayom included, by hook and by crook, because between all the chavrusas and the testing and the chazaras, he learned Baba Kama 13 times, the entire Baba Kama, the first man he was made yeshiva. He had a chavrusa in the morning that taught it to him, then made him chazarit, and then tested him, then somebody afternoon, and somebody at night. They were the same thing all day and all night. He was a big masmid, he did spend long hours, but in more than just crazy hours, he just was very persistent. He was a calm, persistent person. And he learned through Baba Kama 13 times, and he would say many years later that he still knows Baba Kama best because of that regimen of learning it so many times. He never tried, and when he came to yeshiva, for many years, he was extremely unnoticed. Very few people, I mean, he was a nice person. Boy, he's a nice boy. That's about as far as people got. Nice boy is very serious. That was about as far as the compliments went. And even after he was married, people just felt that the idea that he could hold so much within himself, how much he had built up by simple, consistent work, was something that people were amazed. I remember the transition. And people were astounded at two things. They were astounded at how much he knew and was shaylit on. He had always been saying shiurim, always learning with chavrusas. Another midah that he had that was incredible, and I think it gave him a lot of what he had. He always was there to learn with a weak chavrusa. He felt that he himself had been taken from nowhere. Had people not wanted to learn with him, because he was a nobody, know-nothing kid from Chicago, he would still be a nobody, know-nothing, maybe not a kid anymore, and maybe not Chicago, but the other halves would still be the same. And the fact that people gave him time and effort, he never forgot that. And anytime there'd be somebody come, a new American boy especially, who was really strange to the world of yeshivas, and couldn't really sex himself, he would always find time to have a seder with him. and build them. And it's incredible that his life, I guess, as a his Rosh Yeshiva was 1,000 times one people. It was every single person always had some time, some sheikhs, some chavrusas, some this, some that. It was incredible. And it was the same. He had a lot of, he became Rosh Yeshiva when his Parkinson's became evident. He had been suffering for years before, nobody knew about it, and it came together, and he had hepatitis. In that same time also, life was excruciatingly difficult for him. The Parkinson's affected in many ways, made it a lot of painful physical effects. Never, ever lost a smile, and never, ever stopped learning. In other words, the foundation of his person was the learning. The learning was interrupted a lot. He had to do this, that, and the other thing. But you still had the demus of the person learning. So I guess, all three of these people, I think there is a certain challenge to us, because they didn't succeed by things that we don't have. I'm not aware they had photographic memories. I'm not aware that they had lightning rod quick. Not Rav Shach and not my brother-in-law had those things innately. And the Chaznish up in the air, very hard to tell, but certainly that's now what stood out. What stood out were things that every single one of us can emulate. The consistency, low-key personality, no need to be showy or pushy or anything like that, a willingness to go over the nitty and gritty 12 times and 24 times and 36 times, to go over it again and again. The Chazon Ish, almost all people that I've read accounts of young boys, not young meaning from the age 12 to the age till they were grown up, who would learn with the Chazon Ish, a big, immense part of it was going through the Gemara Shitoisvis again and again. Each piece, you have to be able, it's like soldiers, you take apart a gun and you have to be able to put it back together in your sleep. That was the way it was. He took apart what was the question, what was the answer, was the Raya. How did Gemara slog up the Raya? How did Gemara remain at the end? What's Tosfos Kasha? Where's his Kasha from? What does he bring in from here? What does he bring from there? Again and again and again, until you literally could do it in your sleep. That was the way he held, and that was all of him. Rav Shach's Torah is brilliant, but his own personal learning was always, and you saw it, it's saying over, getting his hands around the Kasha and Teretz and so on. That's something that's available for every one of us. It doesn't require much of a head to be able to do that. It requires a sense of simcha, that if a person knows that if I'm amol b'Torah, then really I have it all. This is life. Amelos b'Torah's life, and being happy with what a person has, is what makes a person persist. They didn't look to make a splash, and it's because they didn't look to make a splash that they were so effective and so much beyond the world. So I guess it's a moment I still remember, two of the three I remember, and the one I knew well and one I still remember. So I guess some sense of giving over my feelings. And my brother, I remember clearly the process. I remember the process where people said he's a very fine person, very good person, big masmid, and that's it. So people said, wow, where does that come from? It comes from when you learn through a Gemara 13, 14, 15 times a Zman, and you learn it's Zman in, Zman out, and so on and so forth. That's where it comes from. When you train yourself to be thoughtful, methodical, calm, and besimcha, and the simcha, music is a stimulant, but it's a very temporary stimulant. The knowledge that a person has that he sweated through an hour or two of learning consistently and honestly, if a person reflects on it, should give him tremendous simcha. We should be zeich and eschus that we should be able to take some of that. The things we spoke about are eminently relevant to each and every one of us. And Be'ez Hashem, we should be toyim some of the tainuk, some of the pleasure they had in the work and in the learning. And they're learning over and over again the Igiyas HaTorah and Amelos HaTorah and the Bikush HaEmes. Shabbos.
Well, I might ask you later because I'm going to be in Shia. Sure. Can I come to your house later?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Of course.